moves were never not deliberate. There was no uh-oh. Disaster doesn't derail destiny. Said I saw it and it was good. Good. I haven't changed my mind. A love that's freely given yet infinitely costly. I don't fear tomorrow. Tomorrow fears me. I got so many tomorrows to give. I love your details passionately. Everything, every person, still in its right place. Every person, important. A powerful brushstroke. I know their names, their hopes, their dreams, their fears. Ah, their fears. I know them well. Your value doesn't depreciate. See, worth and value isn't determined by an innate quality, but by the length for which an owner would go to possess them. What is man but an experiment in an attempt to become selfless? A pitiful pit bull that seems to love his pitfalls. And if y'all are honest, we wallow in false shortness. A character kamikaze that's oddly right, hardly. And to make our kingdom advance, we did a dance with Satan, the clan in the Bible, xenophobia and self-hate. And we worship how we felt and shook our fist at control in an attempt to make sense of the world through our senses. And what a mess we made. And he in heaven was waiting, aching for replacing, pacing back and forth until he split time and space. And not a situation you faced could change the place you held in his heart. You were A1 from the start, and for the joy that was set before him and held him on that cross since day one. His glorious kingdom come, the living and breathing liberty bell that'll never crack. Christ, the hope of glory that took the weight of the world on his back. A love that is undeniable and perfect. Listen, I ain't never walked on water. I am not at all a know-it-all. I just know he's knowable, relatable. That's God our Father, not a judgmental tyrant writing guilty on our eyelids. But he scribbled eternity on these black hearts of ours and yours, specifically, uniquely, like single mothers in moral dilemmas. Like, God knows I want to do right, but that health care and that child care make me feel like I'm out of sight. Or the laundry list of missteps that makes me feel ineligible of love and purpose. Quite the opposite is at work. Listen, I don't claim to have the answers to your pain. I just know the Son of Man was slain to say we the same, and third day raising. So we sing these songs, let you know you're loved and belong. He said, I saw it and it was good, and he ain't changed his mind, and you ain't got enough failure to make that even an option. This is Christ, the hope of glory, who is most definitely alive, who is today alive, who is for sure alive.
Well, happy Easter, church. Would you join us as we worship our risen Savior this morning?
Worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet, for he has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free and free captive, you break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. You've been faithful. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things, and I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. Oh God, you do great things. Oh hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive, you break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh,
to be together this Easter online. You know, our Easter services look different than we had originally planned them to be when we first started dreaming and praying about what these Easter services would look like. But we are confident that God is still going to move in a mighty way in your life this year. And before we jump back into worship through song, why don't you let us know that you're here by dropping a comment or an emoji in the comment section. And be sure to follow us on social media and subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss anything from New Life.
Of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam.
Hallelujah.
evening find a voice. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, you are worthy, King Jesus.
Their Creator bless and worship Him in humbleness. Oh, praise Him. Hallelujah. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit.
Sing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
You are the Word at the beginning, one with God. Your
Well, good morning, church. We're so glad you have decided to join us once again for this online worship experience. You know, it was true on the very first Easter Sunday morning. And it was true down throughout history as churches have endured plagues and famines and persecution and all kinds of different things. It's true in quarantine, and it'll be true 10 weeks from now when hopefully things are back to some little bit of normalcy. I want you to declare it with me here this morning that Christ is risen, and he is risen indeed. I love being a part of something that echoes down throughout history, something that's bigger than myself, something that has this continuation on and on and on, to feel like that I'm a part of something that God has been doing, is doing, and will do in the future. There's something about that idea of echo that has always fascinated me. My dad is a choral conductor, and one of the things that he used to love to do as we began to fine-tune a particular choral piece is he would take us into this older part of the building where we held our practices. And we would sing through that particular song, and we would listen to the acoustics fill the room. And then there came this moment towards the end of the song where we all held out that last note for as long as we could. And sometimes he would even hold it a little bit longer. And we'd be like, all right, we've given you everything that we've got. And then he would cut us off. And as we went silent, something fascinating happened. The music didn't stop. It continued to reverberate around the room. It continued to fill that room for seconds and what sometimes felt like a lot, like almost a minute afterwards, after we had concluded that song. It just continued to echo around the room. And I still, even to this day, love that idea of echo. I'll walk into a cavernous room and I'll speak out, or I'll begin to sing and listen to that echo back. I'll be in a canyon or somewhere where I know that echo is going to happen, and I'll shout out, and then I'll look to my kids and I'm like a little kid again. And I go, did you hear it? And it just fascinates me. If I'm ever around little kids, I make sure that I shout out and hear that echo bounce back. And then again, I look at them, and they look with amazement. And then they say these amazing words, can you do that again? And then I yell again and we hear the echo. And then I invite them to yell and they hear the echo. And there's just something awesome about hearing something like sound come alive. You know, as I was thinking about the idea of echo, I want you to kind of wrap your heart and mind around this particular definition. It's a sound that's repeated or reverberated after the original sound has stopped. Let me say that again. It's a sound that is repeated or reverberated after the original sound has stopped. And so, over 2,000 years ago, the event of the resurrection happened. But the echo of the resurrection, the hope of the resurrection, what Jesus accomplished when he walked out of that tomb is still echoing and moving throughout the earth today. And so I have an incredibly pivotal question for you to begin to process this particular Easter Sunday morning. Do you hear the echo of hope? Do you hear the echo of hope? That comes from the tomb that is declared from Jesus as he walks out and is alive. Do you hear it? Now, some of us this morning have kind of got up early and we did the Easter egg hunt thing and we're still in our pajamas, which is really okay. If you got dressed up and you're, you know, like I did in my Easter Sunday suit, that's awesome too. But you're on your couch and you came ready and you are anticipating that this is the day where we celebrate the resurrection because your life is in tune with what God is doing and you hear the echo of hope in your life each and every day. For others of us, we kind of come to this particular day and it's like we're revisiting something that we knew was true at one point, but for whatever reason, whether it's in this given year or over the last several years or the last season of our life, all of a sudden that echo has become less and we don't hear it with quite the same clarity anymore. And then there's others of us that maybe for the very first time, this is a crazy season and it's led you back either to ask questions about God and spirituality and those things. And so you decided to log on today and to listen to an Easter service. And you're just asking yourself right now, as I'm talking about this, man, I would love to hear the echo of hope that Jesus offers for the very first time. And so, again, wherever you are, if you are someone who came ready to listen in to that echo once again of hope, if you're someone who is trying to find it again, or maybe for the very first time, you're asking questions about whether or not the echo of the hope of Jesus could be real for you, I think it's an important question for us to ask. Do you hear the echo? And maybe a second question for us to consider is, if you can't hear the echo, what sound is guiding your life? If you can't hear the echo of the hope of Jesus, the echo that comes from a tomb that is empty and declares that the Son of God did not die on that cross, but the Son of God is alive and well and ready to impact our lives. If you can't hear that echo, what sound is guiding your life? Is it the echo and the sound of fear and doubt right now? Is it, man, this whole season has been so overwhelming to you that you're not quite sure what to do with it. And so you're asking yourself, okay, all I can hear, I can't hear the echo of hope. All I hear is the echo of doubt and the echo of fear. Is it the echo of skepticism? You're saying, David, I want to believe, but man, I am so skeptical and worried about having hope in anything right now. Are you still maybe pressing into the echo of our echoes of our culture, of the echo of pleasure and just everything's about me and me being happy? Are you giving in to the echo of wealth and assuming that somehow that is going to be what is going to help you live fully alive? Wherever you find yourself, it is my prayer this morning that you would hear the echo of hope that Jesus offers. I want to invite you to stand right where you are. I know you're in your easy chair. That's all right. You can kind of put that, you know, put your feet down and stand up for a moment. And I want to invite you to stand as we listen in with reverence and awe and anticipation to the word of God as it is declared in the Gospel of Luke chapter 24. Starting at verse 1. Again, if you want to open up the Word of God that you have before you or on your mobile device, you can do that. Luke is in the New Testament or the second half of the Bible. It's one of the Gospels. We have Matthew, Mark, then the book of Luke, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 1. We read these words. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to be like nonsense to them. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I ask, God, that you would just open up your word to us in such a powerful way that, God, we might have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to receive your good news today. We ask all these things in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. You can be seated back in your easy chair. It's all right. You can even have a sip of your coffee if you want. But, you know, what's interesting to me about this passage every time that I come to it is that nobody was expecting hope to echo. Nobody was expecting an empty tomb. What they were expecting was silence. The reason we know this is because we have these women who are going to the tomb and they're not going there with party banners and they're not going there with expectation that the tomb is going to be empty. They're bringing the spices to continue the burial rituals that had been put on hold because of the Sabbath. And so here you have these women who are going to the tomb and they're looking for a dead body. They're looking to kind of care for their friend even as he has passed. And what they find, though, is an empty tomb. And I began to think about this because no matter what some of us have seen and no matter what some of us have heard, no matter how hopeful the message of Jesus is, no matter maybe what we have heard over the years or our grandparents or our friends have shared with us about who Jesus can be in our lives, some of us take inventory of our lives and we don't see the possibility of resurrection in our own lives. Even when we've heard it with crystal clarity. In fact, this is what Jesus was speaking to them or referencing in this particular passage. The two men were referencing what Jesus had spoken in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, where it says, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and then get this, on the third day that he would be raised to life." And so this had begun to spread among them, this idea that Jesus was going to have to suffer and die, but that on the third day that he would be raised to life. And some of us have heard that message and we've heard this idea that Jesus can lead us to life and life to the fullest, that we can't live fully alive unless we surrender our lives to Jesus. And for whatever reason, we can't hear that message of resurrection. We can't see how Jesus can make an impact or a difference in our life. And I think the challenge is that many of us have a lens issue. We have had so much disappointment and hurt in our life that we can't imagine life without that hurt, without that disappointment, without that frustration. And it actually makes it difficult for us to see our lives in any other, through any other lens other than that hurt. We're always waiting for the other negative thing to happen in our life. We're always trying to look for the conspiracy theory of why resurrection and good things and life-giving things can't happen in our life. We're always seeing ourselves as the victim rather than someone who can be resurrected and lead a life that is full and vibrant. And so these women find themselves in the same way. They have a lens issue because when they go to the tomb, as we read about in other gospels, it says in this one that they wondered, but in other gospels, we begin to realize that part of their wondering was the fact that they had this lens that was being, that was causing them to be hindered by seeing their resurrection. What they were so focused in on was that is what they thought was possible rather than what God can make possible. Let me say that again. They were focused, and sometimes we're the same way. They were focused on what we know to be possible rather than what God can make possible. And so what they thought had happened was that this grave had been robbed. What they thought had happened is that somebody was creating a conspiracy about Jesus, that somebody had stolen the body. And because of this lens, rather than joy, rather than excitement, I mean, think about it. You go to this tomb where your friend has been buried and a stone had been rolled over. And if you get there and the body is no longer there and you remember the words or you remember the teaching that he said he would rise on the third day, you would assume that there would be excitement, that there would be joy, that there would be celebration happening at this particular moment. But again, their lens was so clouded by what they thought was possible, not what God could make possible. And so instead of joy, instead of excitement, the word says that they were frightened. And the two men that were there said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" I think that it can be an incredibly scary, don't miss this. I think it can be an incredibly scary thing for some people to risk having hope. I think it's way easier for some people to lower the bar. I think that it's way easier for some people to sit there and go, you know what? If I don't have hope that I can have victory over this sin, if I don't have hope that I can have victory in this life or have life and life to its fullest, if I kind of just set the bar really low, then my expectations won't be shattered. I won't be frustrated. I won't be disappointed. And so that's what we tend to do. Is that we lower the bar and then we say, you know what, then if it doesn't work out or God doesn't come through or I don't experience the fullness of life that everybody is talking about, then I'll be okay. I'll be better off that way. Some, with this mentality, some will stay in graveyards among dead things rather than risk hope. And for you watching right now, I wonder how many of the things in your life you have chosen to stay in a graveyard. You have chosen to stay among dead things rather than risking hope because you thought, man, if I can just keep that bar low, then I won't be disappointed. Can I encourage you with something today? I want to encourage you with just the hope that I think Jesus wants to speak into your life, that he wants to make room for. Make room for new things, not dead things. Make room for new things in your life, not dead things. Sometimes we have to let go of the dead things in our life in order to embrace new things. Sometimes we have to kind of say, you know what? There's this toxic relationship in my life that I keep allowing to create havoc and hurt and pain and suffering in my life. Now, I want you to know that forgiveness is important, but it's okay to say, you know what? I'm going to forgive this person, but I'm going to forgive them at a distance. And so for some of those toxic relationships that go on, we have to let go of those dead things, those toxic relationships, in order to embrace new, healthy relationships in our lives. We have to let go sometimes of dead dreams, things that we're still holding on to. And God, quite honestly, might have something even better than you ever expected, something that he wants to unleash in your life, but you can't hear it and you can't see it because you're still hanging on to dead things. You might have to let go of some dead patterns and rhythms in your life in order to embrace newer, healthier patterns. And hopefully that's something that's maybe happening during this particular season, is that you're recognizing some of the dead patterns in your life and how you have let those go, or you've been forced to let those go, and you've adopted some new, healthier patterns. What does it look like to hang on to those and make sure that you continue to create room for those? Or what about even self-reliance? This idea that for some of us, the God that we worship is our own strength. The God that we worship is our own selves. And so what does it look like to come to a posture of surrender and say, you know what, I'm done trying to play a role in my life, the role of God that I was never created to play. We've got to let go of dead patterns and dead dreams and toxic relationships in order to create space for new living things in our lives. And if you go back to the text, it's interesting that the men say, remember how he told you. And when they say this and they begin to detail what he had said, all of a sudden it triggers in the minds and the hearts of these women the truth that they had been taught. And so I wonder how many of us on this particular Easter Sunday that we might be questioning God, or we might be asking questions, spiritual questions, or maybe these are questions that we haven't asked ourselves in a really long time. But this event of quarantine, this event of COVID-19 and some of the fear that it's brought about and the frustration and the things that are happening have actually triggered spiritual questions in our mind. It reminds me similarly of what happened when 9/11 took place. All of a sudden, you have people who begin to ask spiritual questions and questions about God and questions about faith and questions about hope, because this event triggered memories and triggered words in their heart and lives that brought them back to a position of faith. In fact, there have been people that I've even been talking to recently who haven't thought about God since they were young and they were in Sunday school, who this event has triggered an opportunity for them to invite God back into their lives. And that's how God operates so often. There's these moments that happen in our lives, and when these difficult moments happen, it triggers memories and words and ideas and spiritual conversations for us to re-engage God. This also happens when we have moments of celebration. All of a sudden, a child is born, or you get married, or any number of things happen. And in that moment of celebration, you begin to ask yourself, what do I want my life to be about from this point forward? How do I want the words of Jesus to echo in my heart and life differently now that this has happened than they have maybe prior to this event taking place? And if this has been a season for you to press in to God, if this has been a season right now for you to begin asking questions, spiritual questions, and questions about who God can be and who Jesus can be and what a fully alive person looks like as they surrender their lives for Jesus, here's some of the words I want you to remember. Maybe they're words that you heard in Sunday school. Maybe they're words that you've heard down through your lifetime from grandparents or friends or family members. Or maybe for the very first time you're going to hear these words today. But when God thinks about you, this is what he thinks about. These are the words I want to flood your mind today. That he sees a son and a daughter that he has created. He sees you, and when he looks at you, he says, man, they're right there, that person right there, they are my masterpiece. God wants this idea to flood your mind, that he is a God that has not abandoned you, he has not forgotten about you, that he is a God who is with you. He wants you to know that he sent his one and only son to die on the cross, to forgive you of your sins, to be raised from the dead, that you might have life and life to the fullest. And he wants you to know this. If you haven't heard it in a while, or maybe you just need a refresher, or maybe you are hearing it for the first time, you are radically, authentically, and passionately loved by Jesus. And I don't know what has brought you to this particular moment at this particular time in history, but I know this, that sometimes the events that take place, not only in our lives, but in the world, lead us to pivotal hinge points in our lives where we can choose to hear the echo of hope that Jesus offers once again. It's interesting, though, because as I'm even saying this, I know this to be true, that when you begin to hear that echo of hope, when you begin to understand who you can be in Christ Jesus, when you begin to step into the reality that you are a son, you are a daughter of the Most High God, there will be people who won't understand it. And that's exactly what happens in this particular text. You have these women who encounter an empty tomb, and their light bulb goes on in their hearts and their minds that Jesus is alive. And they go back to the apostles, and they begin to share with the apostles the events that they had experienced. And when they do this, the apostles look at them, these individuals who had followed Jesus, these individuals who were in lockstep with Jesus, learning from his every move, these individuals hear that Jesus is alive, that the tomb is empty, and they say, your words are nonsense. You see, there's something interesting about hope that when people who don't have hope hear people who have hope talk, they think that we're insane. They think that we're a little bit too weird, a little bit too odd, that they think maybe you're becoming a little bit too religious or a little bit of a Jesus freak. But you know what I would say? They're only saying that because they can't yet hear the echo. The echo of hope that comes from Jesus. One of the things that I love to do is to drive in my car with the music blaring as loud as I can get it, mostly so I can sing at the top of my lungs and I can't hear how bad I am, or no, hopefully nobody else can hear how bad I am, but I can just sing and worship my God. And usually there's no big deal because, you know, if I've kind of singing along, everybody kind of hears the music blaring and they kind of get it. But every now and then I'll be singing at the top of my lungs and then music will be blaring. And instead of the windows being rolled down, the windows will be rolled up. And I'll come to that pivotal place where you approach a stoplight, and as you roll up, you're jamming out, and that's what I usually do, and I'm singing, and I'm using my steering wheel as a drum set, and I'm rocking out, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I'll see the person next to me, and they're turning this way, and they're looking at me like I'm absolutely insane. But I'm not insane. The only reason that they think I'm insane is because they can't hear the music. The only reason sometimes that people are skeptical, the reason that sometimes people question the hope that Christians and believers walk around with, and the joy that we can have even in the midst of a valley, and the hope that we can have even when things seem to be a little bit uncertain, is because they can't hear the music. And church, it is our calling. It is our destiny. It is what God has called us to do, to roll down our windows so that people can begin to hear the echo of hope from the heavens, so that we can roll down our windows so that when people are driving by, they're not looking at us like we're insane, but they're hearing and experiencing the hope that comes from Jesus. And so this is what Jesus is talking about and what the scripture is talking about in a little bit later on in chapter 24. It says that you will be my witnesses. In other books, Jesus is very commissional in this idea that people who follow him, that people who would be his disciples, that people who believe in his life, his death, and his resurrection will be his witnesses. But that word witnesses is important because what he's saying is that you will become the evidence that the empty tomb is real. You will become the evidence. You will become the echo that hope in Jesus is real. You will become the evidence that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I want you to do me a favor. Maybe you just turn to the person next to you. Maybe if you've got, you know, your iPhone or something like that, or computer out. You can even type this in the chat feature, depending on what social media platform you're listening from at this particular moment. But I want you to type this out. Where will you echo from? Where will you echo the hope of Jesus? What city will you echo the hope of Jesus in? What place of business will you echo the hope of Jesus in? What family will you echo the hope of Jesus in? What role do you have as a parent, as a father, as a mother, as a child, as a student, as a leader in our community? Where will you echo the hope of Jesus? Where will you roll the windows down so that others can bear witness to the resurrected Jesus in your life? And the last thing I want you to consider, and this is, again, specifically for those who maybe are asking themselves right now, man, I want to believe, but I'm not sure. I'm hearing this for the very first time, but I don't know how to actually believe. Can I just ask you this question? What's the source of your echo? What's the source of the echo that is echoing in your particular life? See, Jesus appears to the disciples and he opens up their eyes and their minds and their hearts to the message of the good news of the gospel, to the message of hope that Jesus has come to proclaim. And they don't just think it's a good idea, and they don't just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to believe in these ideas or this kind of good moral character. No, the reason that their life is radically changed forever, it's because they have an encounter with the resurrected Jesus. What is the source of your echo? The reason that you see Christians from generation to generation after generation who go through incredibly difficult times, from famine to war to oppression to persecution to surviving diseases and quarantines, is because they have had an encounter with the resurrected Jesus, and the hope that they experience when they encounter Jesus begins to echo through their entire lives. There's a source to their hope. They don't just, you know, garner it up on their own. There's a source to their hope. I have one of those Alexa Echo systems in my household. There's a main host source, and then there's like these little pods. They're called Echo Dots that I put in my kids' rooms. But even that main source, as cool as it is just simply echoing a greater source than it. It is linked, and it's kind of surprising that, you know, most of us use Google Chrome or something of that nature. It's actually linked to the Bing search engine. And so when you ask Alexa a question, it's searching throughout this larger source, this larger connection, in order to provide you the information. Can I tell you something? That when you see a Christian and they have hope, when you see a Christian and they have joy, when you see a follower of Jesus and they're sitting there and say, man, I'm nervous. I admit that at times I can even be scared, but I am standing on a rock solid foundation. Do you know that they're not just speaking those words because somehow they just have more courage than you, or more strength than you? No, it's because their source is in Jesus. Their source is in a God who raises people from the dead. Their source is in a God who was placed in the tomb and the tomb was sealed. But 3 days later, he walked out of that tomb and declared that death and sin will not have the final say. And so when things go south, when they don't turn out like you thought they would, when you get frustrated, when the rock is rolled in front of the tomb of your dream or your relationship or the opportunity that you thought was going to happen, what will your source be? I want to pray for you this morning. And if you would, again, I know that I can't see you, but I want you to bow your heads and I want you to close your eyes. And I just want to ask you a couple of just really brief questions. And the first one is this. If you are someone who maybe has followed Jesus for a really long time, can I just ask you this question? What would it look like for you to roll down the windows in your life and become a witness for the hope that Jesus brings? What would it look like for you to roll down the windows of your life and become a witness for the hope that only Jesus can bring? A second person that might be out there is someone who is saying, you know, I remember from Sunday school. I remember when I was a little kid going to church. I remember when I attended that religious school. I remember them talking about the hope in Jesus, but somewhere along the way, man, my ears just went deaf to that echo. And David, when I hear you speak today, I remember those words once again. And I want to have that hope. And I want to hear that echo of hope that Jesus can offer once again today. If that's you, I'm going to pray for you here in just a moment. And then there might be someone here who's watching this who's saying, man, this is the first time I ever even have heard that there can be hope in Jesus. And I want you to know that God loved you so much that he sent his one and only son to die on the cross to forgive you of your sins. And then 3 days later, he was raised from the dead to give you life and life to its fullest. That you could become fully alive in Jesus by placing your trust in him. And that you can hear. You can choose to believe and you can choose to hear the echo of hope that comes from Jesus right here, right now. So no matter which group you're in, would you pray with me this morning? Gracious Heavenly Father, I lift up those, God, that might have been following you for quite a while, but God, they've kind of kept the hope that you offer, the hope that is echoing throughout the world. They've kind of kept it themselves. God, would you allow them to roll down their windows of their lives today and become a witness, evidence that what you say is true and what you did is true and the fact that the empty tomb is true, not just because it happened at one point in history, but because the evidence of the resurrection continues to echo throughout the earth today. And then God, I pray for those that might be saying, man, David, I heard that echo. I heard the sound of hope at one point, but I've lost it. I've tuned it out. I tuned it out because of the hurt in my life. I tuned it out because of disappointment. I tuned it out because I got interested in other things. God, would you let them know that they can return to you and they can crank up the volume on the echo of hope in their lives right now? And they can begin to live their lives in lockstep with that hope that they can have in Jesus once again. And then God, I pray for those that might be saying for the very first time, God, I hear it. I hear the echo of hope, and I want to embrace it. And so, God, I pray that they would repeat in their hearts and minds this prayer. Heavenly Father, I admit I tried to do things my own way. I tried to find my own echo to shape my life. But it hasn't worked out. And I confess, God, that I need you. And so today, God, I choose to tune my ears and to tune my heart and to tune my lives towards the hope that you have in Jesus. And I trust, God. I trust that he will help me discover how to live my life, to live my life out through the echo of hope that Jesus offers. God, we thank you for what you are doing. We thank you, God, that you are not confined to a building or four walls, but God, your Holy Spirit is moving in so many different places and so many different lives right here, right now. And we ask all these things in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
People come together, strange as neighbors, a blood is one. Children, generations of every nation of kingdom come. So don't let your heart be troubled. Hold your head up high, don't fear no evil. Fix your eyes on this one truth. God is madly in love with you. So take courage, hold on, be strong. Remember where our help comes from. Your heart be troubled and hold your head up high. Don't feel evil. Fix your eyes on this one truth. God's madly in love with you. So take courage, hold on, be strong. Remember where our help comes from.
The winds are changing, there's a new day on the rise. atmosphere is breaking as a new world comes to life. So we will sing, we will dance till the earth echoes the heavens. Sing its praise till we see the other side.
From David about how hope echoes throughout the earth. And we wanted to tell you about a couple of ways that you can be a part of echoing hope during this season. The first is simply through generosity. You know, God has been doing amazing things in and through the ministry of New Life over the past few weeks. These are unique and difficult times, but God is still on the move, and we have been able to serve our community in so many amazing ways, and that is only through the generosity of this church. And so that is one really great way that you can echo hope, just by simply giving to our general fund. And through that, that goes to our food pantry that has been serving over 150 families every week. It's truly amazing to see all that God is doing through that. And one other way that you can echo hope is by texting the word echo to the number that's on your screen. We've put together a website that has some really fun and creative and unique ways for you to echo hope, and we hope that you will check that out. You can also go to newlifepismo.com/echo to find that out, and we hope that you'll participate with us in echoing hope this season. Well, why don't we just welcome David back up for our benediction.
Well, thanks again for joining us for this online worship experience. As you go, may you tune your heart and your lives towards the echo of hope that Jesus offers. And may you roll down the window of your lives that others might see the witness, the evidence of Jesus and his resurrection in your life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Grace and peace to you.
Can you feel the winds are changing? There's a new day on